You can feel the momentum building as we prepare for December 25th. Christmas is in the air. Welcome to Insight for Living. You're about to hear a time-sensitive message introduced Monday based on Isaiah's prophecy and a profound passage in Galatians 4 that reminds us of God's perfect timing. Lest we believe Christmas was a spontaneous afterthought, Paul said, "When the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." And the children's choir prepares the way.
May we bow for prayer, please. How simple and easy it is to use the word or the name Emmanuel, but to miss the meaning. Thank you for coming to us, our Father, in the person of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for His ministry among us during those 33 and more years, as He lived as one of us and as He died in our place, and as He was raised triumphant, ascended and was seated in the heavenlies at your right hand to make intercession for us. Thank you that having come among us, He is always with us. The Christmas season is for many a lonely and difficult time. Many have nostalgic memories, and some of them sad memories of years gone by. I pray that you will break that long-standing dread that some have and use this season to bring encouragement and hope and refreshment. Renew the memories with better ones and refresh our lives with new truth to live by. Our Father, we pray that as we hear the songs of the season, and as we are among one another and so many of this world who sing them not knowing what they are saying, we might model the message in such a way that doors of opportunity open for us to speak to others who are singing our songs. May we be reminded again and again, our Lord, that your plan is unfolding and that it isn't by any means over, but it's running its course right on schedule. Encourage those who are away from home, those who are in difficult places, and those family members who are away from them. Bring them comfort and hope. Now, our Father, we have the joy of giving today, and we do so with great joy and gratitude because of all you have given to us. See in our gifts hearts that beat for you, minds that are in tune with you, and lives that desire to model your message in a world that's lost its way. We commit this offering and our lives to you in the name of Jesus, our Savior, Emmanuel. And everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to a special holiday edition of Insight for Living. Remember, you can find today's message and music online at insightworld.org. Here's Chuck Swindoll on Learning the Background.
Rarely does God rush. How easy for us to think that he is like we are, sort of quickly throwing things together like we would fix a supper out of leftovers. No, 1,000 times no. It took centuries, in fact, multiple centuries, for the Father to carry out his plan to deposit his Son on this earth. Long before the dawn of time, in the silent, profound setting of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit working together in an unhurried plan, set the arrangement in motion even then for the coming of his Son. Even when. It's exactly as he planned it. Remember? Precise, painstaking, patient, and perfect. So we read in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, words that can easily slip by without our taking them to the depth. When the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son. If someone were to ask me to put these few words in verse 4 in sort of a paraphrase, this would be the way I would express it. When the full number of years and months and hours, along with each planned event, had run their courses, and the precise time was reached when God planned to give his Son entrance onto this earth's scene, he was conceived in the womb of the chosen woman and 9 months later birthed in the exact location of the divinely selected geographical place. That's the fullness of time. The point I'm making is that nothing is left to chance. Everything that had been prearranged transpired right on schedule. How naive of us to think otherwise. Look, got a baby in a manger. Mary and Joseph. At night, a star in the east. Wise men show up. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Wow. How good is that? Just kind of threw that together, huh? Are you kidding? through it together. How ignorant most people are of the background of the Christmas story. How rarely do people remember that prophets and poets and leaders, significant people of faith, through multiple centuries, foretold of Messiah's coming. It wasn't original with them, remember, back before there was the planet Earth and matter and time, the Godhead putting together a plan. And as people came who were people of faith and trust, the Lord revealed to them in spoken and written word, my son is coming. My son will arrive. It will be right on time. Precise. Perfectly planned. In just the right place. From just the right womb. To guarantee that he will be the sinless Lamb of God. Think of the challenge God had. Working through depraved people like you and me, most of whom have never been people of faith. God's work is always carried out by a remnant. Never forget that. Don't be discouraged by that. A very unique body of people down through time, against all fake and phony religions, against all kinds of voices that are announcing this and that, telling you he's a prophet, but he's not really the Son of God. It was really this, but it wasn't that. And there are others that come just so you're sincere. It doesn't really. Nonsense. Nonsense. At just the right time, God sent his son. To do what? Look, to be born of a woman, not just any woman, and not born in just any way. And why? That he might redeem us and adopt us as sons and daughters. How good is that? You just don't throw that plan together. You have to protect him from sin. Which explains the necessity of the virgin conception. We call it the virgin birth. Really, it's a virgin conception. And from her womb, a virgin womb, comes the birth, of course. But a woman who never once knew a man, as the Greek would say of her, a parthenos, never intimately acquainted sexually with another individual. Joseph never touched her. In many ways, Joseph was as surprised as folks today in realizing what God has done within the woman he loved. And that battle, that argument, that struggle, that disagreement is another subject for another time. Let's go back to that whole idea of God speaking through the prophets. Turn back to the prince of the prophets, Isaiah. And locate chapter 7. Now, as soon as I ask you to do that, intelligent listeners know right away we are suddenly moving back, way back, to somewhere between 740 and 680 BC. Way back. Way back. By the way, isn't it interesting that time revolves around the birth of the Savior, A.D., B.C. How significant, huh? But at 740 to 680 B.C., somewhere in there, in that period, there lived a man who was used by God to reach throne rooms of kings, significant royalty. He's called the Prince of the Prophets. His name is Isaiah. He's married a woman, and they have had a son. Shear Jashub was the name they gave the boy. His wife died. He's left now with a motherless child, along with all of the issues that he was living with among the people of Israel and godless kings, etc. And so the Lord speaks to him words of strength. Verse 14 of chapter 7. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Now, it comes as no surprise to some of you that this is a verse around which there has been a number of theological storms. First of all, who's the virgin? And second, is it really virgin, since the Hebrew word is alma, almost always translated young maiden, young woman, not necessarily a virgin? So what's this a reference to? I will quote now from Charles Ryrie's footnote in the Bible that I use. I'll tell you more about it in a moment. Listen closely. God's sign to Ahaz was that of a virgin and her son, who would not be more than 12 to 14 years old before Aram and Israel would be captured by the Assyrians in 722. Still reading. It probably referred to the woman, a virgin at the time, whom Isaiah took later as his second wife. See Isaiah 8, 1 to 4. His first wife presumably having died after the birth of Sheer Jashub. The virgin of Isaiah's prophecy is a type of the Virgin Mary, who by the Holy Spirit miraculously conceived Jesus Christ. This is one of those interesting verses that has a dual meaning. It has a historical interpretation for Isaiah's time. The young woman is at this moment a virgin. He will later marry her, and they will in fact have a son, along with his other son, Sheer Jashub. That's a story in itself, but what is of interest to us is the other interpretation that takes us into the first century. Let me show you that. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. That's it, Matthew 1. And we're going to read the fulfillment of what we just read in Isaiah 7. Remember, God's plan is precise, patiently running its course, perfect in its origin and in its being carried out. Matthew 1, verse 21. Now we've come to the first century. Listen, we've left 740 to 680 BC. We've now moved into the first century, and we read of a woman who will bear a son. Matthew 1, 21. You shall call his name Jesus. The word means Redeemer, or one who rescues, one who saves, shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. What's the context? This is a dream. Joseph is struggling. Mary has said to him, you need to know, I'm pregnant. Joseph knows he's never touched her intimately. So he has trouble believing her when she says, what has happened in me is the result of the Holy Spirit. So he struggles with that, and he wonders what he should do about marrying this woman that's already pregnant, who's giving me this story that it's come from God. Put yourself in his place. And so in this dream, the angel of the Lord says, this woman will bear a son, and you'll call his name Jesus. Read on. All this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Ah, there we are. We jump back to 740 to 680 BC. And we get the verse quoted to us. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. Now, the reason this is so fascinating is that we see within the pages of Scripture a prophecy, Isaiah 7:14, and a fulfillment, Matthew 1:21-22. Isn't that keen? Think of that. And the point is, if God can do that in the days of the Scriptures, then every other promise that will outrun us and go beyond our day will also be fulfilled. Show you an example. Look at chapter 9, Isaiah 9. I love stuff like this, by the way, in case you haven't guessed. Isaiah 9, verse 6 is a prophecy spoken in the days of Isaiah and written in the days of Isaiah, but will be fulfilled way beyond our time in the kingdom. Look, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. Don't rush past that. One is a reference to Mary, who gave us a child. Another is a reference to the living God, God the Father, who gave us his son. It isn't just nice poetry. It means something. The child will be born from Mary. The son will be given by God. And look at this future fulfillment. And the government will rest on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Shalom Prince, Peace Prince. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of his peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on forevermore. It's a reference to the kingdom. Jesus, when he first came, brought a sword. When he first came, there wasn't a lot of peace. When he first came, he had to deal with the Romans. He had to pay the price for sin. And families were torn apart by his first coming because some followed him, some did not. But his second coming, when he establishes his kingdom, it will be a kingdom of peace. And look at this, the government will be on his shoulders. How good will that be, huh? The government on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. He will reign over as king over all who call themselves king and Lord above all who call themselves Lord. He will be not only Messiah, he will be the Savior of the world and the ruler over all the world. Perfect fulfillment yet to come.
Learning the Background. That's the appropriate title for today's sermon from Chuck Swindoll. And there's much more. We invite you to stay with us as we feature this special holiday series on Insight for Living. Now, to own the CDs or to download the MP3 files, just go online to insightworld.org. Four sermons make up the special Christmas series called From Heaven to Earth. If you're looking for a thoughtful gift to tuck underneath a tree here in just a few weeks, or if you're looking for a personal devotional guide to accelerate your own spiritual growth in 2013, then you'll want to request Chuck Swindoll's devotional book, Living the Proverbs, Insight for the Daily Grind. Nothing will have greater impact on your spiritual life than spending time in God's Word, poring over the Proverbs for practical lessons on life. This new hardbound devotional will take you on a 26-week journey through the Proverbs with a handy reading guide. When you make a donation, request the book, Living the Proverbs. Sometimes people wonder, apart from covering the cost of the book, how is my gift applied at Insight for Living? Why are donations so important? Chuck?
When you give a gift to Insight for Living, your gesture of generosity not only ensures that this program continues on your station and over the internet, but more importantly, your donation goes toward reaching someone who desperately needs a grace awakening. There's not a day that goes by when we don't hear from grateful friends who aren't in a position to support us, but they rely on Insight for Living to help them survive the rigors of their day. For example, there are single moms who leave their children in the morning to join the workforce in order to sustain the family. And then there are widows who have lost a beloved spouse and they feel that sense of loss compounded by that aching loneliness. And a weary dad who received a pink slip, wondering how to tell his family. And always there's the divorcee who is picking up the pieces of broken promises and fractured lives. You see, when you give a December donation, you're not only ensuring that you continue to receive Insight for Living, You're making it possible for others to hear as well, and for them to embrace God's amazing grace just as you have. So please, do not let the day slip by without following through on your good intentions. At some point, you were the recipient of someone else's generosity. Now it's your turn. Give today so others may know that in and through the baby Jesus, there's still hope.
All right, thanks, Chuck. And let me explain how you can be in touch with Insight for Living. We love hearing how God has used this program to impact your life through His Word. Online, go to insight.org. Or if you're listening in the United States, you can call right now 1-800-772-8888. Remember, you're invited to request the new book from Chuck Swindoll, a 26-week reading plan through Proverbs, and inspirational devotional chapters from Chuck as well. When you give a special end-of-the-year donation, request Living the Proverbs, Insight for the Daily Grind. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Or online, go to insight.org. Our Christmas celebration continues tomorrow with a holiday message from Chuck Swindoll called Learning the Background on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Learning the Background, was copyrighted in 2011, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2012 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.